the clouds, clouds of heaven, I shall come to earth again. The world be glad to see.
Coming. Wonderful thing to know. Amen. Friends, what a hope it is for a believer on a resurrection morning like today, having experienced the resurrection in your own experience. Amen. To know the promise that lays before a believer. Amen. We know that this life, these days we're living in now, is the worst that the believer will ever go through. That's what they will say. But it's the best that the sinner will ever experience. Amen. What a contrast. Amen. This is the worst. Friends, for us, this is the worst. The days of our flesh. Imagine the glory that's to come. Amen. But to the sinner, though he may be a billionaire today, though he may be a big football player, big pop star, something, but unless he has that life of the resurrection in him, in his soul, in his bosom, this is the best that he's ever going to experience. What a sad thing that is. Amen. This is but the shadow. A thanksgiving from the Zimmer family. They wanted to say thanks for Tabitha being 4 years old today. So we say happy birthday to Tabitha today. And also for their Nissan Micra, which passed its NCT yesterday. Now sometimes it sounds small, but sometimes those are miracles. With the conditions we let our cars get into, sometimes it's a miracle. And sometimes for saints to get to church is a miracle. They should get on their knees in the car park and say, Lord, I thank you for another miracle that you brought me to church. But we thank the Lord for those things. One announcement, since next Saturday is communion service. So no service Friday, Saturday is communion. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. We'll take a thought from Isaiah chapter 60, and then we'll open Genesis chapter 14 by the grace of God. Isaiah 60. Really do appreciate the items that people were singing today. God bless our young brother there. And may the Lord continue to multiply. Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2. Very familiar scripture. This was what the prophet used as his New Year's text, 1964. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. What a contrast, friends. His glory on certain people, but gross darkness upon the people. Amen. That's a contrast. Let's also open Genesis 14. We'll get another bit of a thought from there. This is when Melchizedek met Abraham. Genesis 14. Let's just read it from 18 up to 20. In fact, we'll read it from 17. It might be better if I can just get it there as well, just to get a context of when this took place. Verse 17, that's the beginning of the paragraph. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God. So there was such a revelation of deity in that revelation that he brought to him about God, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, verse 20, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Ena, Eshkol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for Tabitha's birthday. Bless her on her birthday. Thank you, Father, for the things that you do for your people. Thank you that you touched Brother Wilmore. Father, how wonderful that it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord in his season delivers us from them all. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are gracious and good to your people. Bless your people gathering today, wheresoever they would be. Bless your word unto us. Fellowship with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just going to read from the message Shalom here at the beginning. When the prophet uses Isaiah chapter 60. And he says it in paragraph 38. He says, now my text for this morning is an odd word, shalom, which in the Hebrew means peace. And that's what I say to the church this morning. Shalom. Amen. That's peace. Amen. So the prophet, now this man was lived in another dimension, friends. And for the prophet to come and select a certain text at a certain time. And imagine trying to choose your New Year's message. Obviously, you're really trying to take something, being a prophet, living in that realm that this man lived. Having such a communion and a fellowship with heavenly places, having the angel of the Lord around and things like that, living under that anointing, he chose this text and he chose to say shalom to the church. And he says, my New Year's message is to the church elected in Jesus Christ for 1964. Not just the church groups, but the elect lady. Christ's bride, the church, that's who I'm addressing. He says, we're facing here in our subject that we read a very contrast one to another. Isaiah said, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you. The light is here. But the very next verse, he says, gross darkness is upon this people. And then we are in a mixture of light and darkness. Friends, these dimensions have come, like we were saying the other Friday. Hell has opened its gates and has unfolded its filth onto the earth, and heaven has drawn down to the people, and we're in this mixture here. This world is in a mixture. And he says, and my address to the church is shalom, peace. Because we can have God's peace. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but he gives us peace. Friends, this world has no peace. There's no peace coming. Behold, the third world cometh quickly. There's confusion in the political realm, confusion in the educational systems, confusion, there's fear, men's hearts failing. But to the church, he says, shalom. It's time to say peace. God's peace is with you. He says the difference is just like in the beginning when there was gross darkness upon the earth. So in Genesis, when there was gross darkness upon the earth, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and God spoke and said, let there be light. And God separated the light from the darkness. So there's certain seasons in time, certain seasons in dispensations, and we're living in one of those dispensations that God doesn't just use the same system that is used in days gone by. God doesn't just send church age messengers and so forth and different servants like he did in days gone by to his people in certain junctions of time. But there's certain critical times where God himself comes down. God himself takes upon himself the responsibility to come on behalf of his people. And then the prophet takes it right back to Genesis and says, look in Genesis when there was darkness. God never made the world to be dark like that. God never wanted there to be confusion and, you know, all the way that things were. So God himself came down. There wasn't anybody else that came down. God didn't send an angel. God didn't send anybody else. But it says the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jehovah himself, came down and brooded over the earth. And God had a particular purpose there because he was going to do one thing. He was going to separate light from darkness. Because when darkness gets to a certain stage, God has to judge. When darkness gets to this gross darkness and it piles up and the iniquities reach to a certain level, God's never going to leave his people like that. God is going to come down in such times and he is going to come and speak personally to his people because it's God is the one who comes to separate light from darkness. And the prophet realized that we're living in a similar sort of a time. Because Isaiah said, gross darkness shall be upon the people. That actually means a thick cloud of darkness. But it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. So God intervenes in the affairs of men. God comes down. And I'm so glad that we are recipients of this. Friends, we can speak of Melchizedek. We can speak about the great things of God. And it's so easy to put things far away. But there's no mystery to us in these things. Because just as much as God came down as Melchizedek to Abraham, God came down to you and I. What voice turned you around when you were dead in sin and trespasses? Who came down and separated you from the darkness that you were in? Who came and delivered you from the gross darkness that you were in? And yet the rest of the people around you went on in gross darkness. It was the same God who came and separated Abraham. It was the same God who came down and called an exodus, and there was darkness over Egypt, and there was a light in the dwellings of the children of Israel in Goshen. When God himself came down to separate his people, God came down at a certain junction because it was an exodus time. God was going to pour his full judgment on Egypt, but he didn't want that judgment to come upon his people. So the Lord came to Moses and said, I have come down. It wasn't anybody else. It was God himself who came down as a theophany in his body as Melchizedek at those critical junctions of time. Now look at it with Abraham in Genesis 14 there. Is that it's an interesting time when he came. And friends, you and I were in exactly the same condition as well. Because the Bible speaks in verse 17 about the king of Sodom went out to meet him. And friends, that king of Sodom has many names, but he hasn't changed. We live in the day now when the king of Sodom, his kingdom is almost coming to its fullness. We can call him many things. We can call him the king of Babylon. We can call him whatever, the pale horse rider. You can call him whatever you want to call him. But it was a dangerous kind of a time. When Abraham was called, it wasn't long. It was from his call to the time that Isaac came was 25 years. So Sodom's days were numbered. And all these times that God was dealing with Abraham, like in Genesis 14, the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites was filling up and filling up and filling up. Sin was reaching a certain peak and a certain level. And the king of Sodom was the one who first came to meet Abraham. Now, the sad thing about us, we all had fellowship with him before. The Bible says we were all darkened in our imagination, all darkened in our understanding. And we all partook of the sins of this king of Sodom. Maybe not in sodomy itself, that act, but in the sins that were done in this age, just as much as it was in that age. For as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And the prophet speaking about this, he speaks of this darkness. We'll get back there to the next verse. But he says, it seems there's something that has struck our people. He was speaking of the Pentecostal people. It struck the world. They don't seem to have the understanding. There's something wrong. Friends, and is that not what you find no matter who you speak to out there in the world? These people don't understand how bad things are spiritually in this world. People don't understand how immoral this world is, how dark this world is. They don't understand because people are born in it. And they fellowship with this king of Sodom from when they're born. Through the television set, through the music, through the entertainment, through the newspapers, all those things. You're fellowshipping with this gross darkness. And if it's not for the grace of God, you grow up as a child of darkness in that darkness. And he says, look at the women in our day. They don't seem to have the ladylike like they once did. They want to, but there's something won't let them do it. It seems that there's a heaviness. There's a gross darkness, spiritually speaking. There's something that's pressing in on this edge. And friends, if you're not careful, if you don't keep the standard, it'll be in your home. If you're not careful, it'll be here in church. All the pornography and all the immorality and the filth and the entertainment systems of this world. Now, when I was reading over this, it doesn't take you long just to see it all around you. Kitana had spoken about the Eurovision Song Contest, which they had this last week. I don't know much about it, so I went and had a look. And she spoke about the person who won. And you go and see the day you're living in by the person who won the Eurovision Song Contest. He's a man, but he's a woman. He's made himself a woman dressing in a dress, but he has a beard. But he's a woman. It's a woman with a beard, but he's a man. And he was the one which they voted. And friends, that spoke to me of the day that we're living in. That's gross darkness upon a person. That's something that presses a person to do something like that. Because a man's supposed to be a man and a woman's supposed to be a woman. And anything else is a perversion, friends. It's a gross darkness. It's something in the spiritual realm that's pressing someone to do something. And it's not God that presses a person like that. This is gross darkness that's upon the people. And it's become such an accepted thing. It's become the norm now in society. Then I was at work the other day. I don't read the newspaper, but this guy was reading the newspaper. And the article caught my eye and was about the singer Miley Cyrus. And she had this concert last week. And they said it was the most filthy concert. They say mothers went with their daughters and all that. And within her first two or three sentences, she used the F word four times. And she was so out of it. She was so stoned. And then she was encouraging all the young girls that were there and the young people. I won't even say the things that she was encouraging them to do. But it's gross darkness, friends. Amen. And it comes on our young people and it influences our young people. And these are the role models, but they don't realize that this is darkness that is presenting this before the people. And these are the ones that come and bring the fashions of our day. And friends, the fashions of this day all came from gross darkness. Amen. It wasn't from the realm of light that is bringing the fashions out or the music out or the films that have come out. And people want to go and see this new film, Noah. Friends, it's blasphemy to even think of going to see this film. It's an atheist who made that film. And I just went and read, I sent it around to the brothers and said, brothers, look what's in this film. That's nothing to do with Noah. That's nothing to do with the biblical Noah. That's a modern day perversion of a film. And no believer should watch anything like that. Why waste your time on something which comes from the realm of darkness, comes from Hollywood, comes from an atheist. It's born from that kind of an atmosphere. Yes, they try to take the Bible titles and they try to use the Bible epic tales from the Bible. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are looking for some sort of wholesome family entertainment for their children. And they take that and they make a perversion out of it. And the prophet said, it's a gross darkness that's upon the people. It is, it's gross darkness. He says, there's something wrong. You tell a lady that she should not do such and such a thing. The lady looks at that and believes that. She wants to believe it, but there's just something that presses her the other way. Oh, friends. If it's not for the grace of God inside of your life, if you don't have the power, like Brother Max was saying, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you'll never overcome this age. Amen. You'll always be acknowledging that's the truth. I don't want to listen to this kind of a music. I don't want to get caught up in these kind of things. But you'll never have the power to overcome those things. It's God has to visit you and separate you from that darkness. And that's the grace of God. He says, poor thing, I feel sorry for her. She's so caught in such a web of Hollywood. It's like the spider and he makes his web. And the insect flies in and totally unawares and then is caught in that web. Not realizing the perilous condition that it finds itself in. He says she's caught in the web of Hollywood. And in the advertisements on the television and the radio and the newspaper and on the street. And the store windows with the modern dress and so forth. And the way the other women meet her. You know, and then people go to work or they have their friends and their neighbors and they dress in a certain kind of a way. And You know, it's a real sexy way, a modern way of dressing. And people naturally get attracted to that. And you know, but why can't I dress like that? Why can't I put makeup on like that? Why can't I do all these kind of things to adorn myself? Not realizing that it's gross darkness that's upon a person. That has made a person present themselves to the world like that. The prophet says God would never make a woman undress herself in public. Just the only time you find it in the Bible was Legion among the tombs when he was demon possessed and he took off his clothes. But when he met Christ and came to his right mind, he was clothed again, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You don't find these things in the Bible, that they came from the realm of revelation, that they came from the immortal, eternal realm. These things came from gross darkness. This is the king of Sodom that's presenting these things in such an effective way in this day, until this gross darkness has like a thick cloud. It's like it was, the prophet says, in the beginning, where there was just darkness upon the face of the deep. But God will never leave his children in that kind of a condition. And that's why he takes the responsibility upon himself to come and separate the light from the darkness before he judges the darkness, before darkness brings on itself the consequences of darkness. God will always bring a separation. The prophet says, there seems to be something among men. Men don't seem to have that masculine touch that they used to have. Women don't seem to have that feminine touch that they used to have. Man doesn't want to be burly like he used to be. They want to wear suede shoes with purple. They want to act like women. Friends, is that not exactly? Go and walk down the street. That's exactly the condition. You see the youth of this day, the boys with their hair down over their face and the way they dress with these tight clothes and so forth and the way they behave. Like I laugh with Gitana when you watch Barney, you know, when the children, I don't like them to watch Barney because Barney doesn't know whether he's a boy or a girl. And if anyone's ever watched Barney the dinosaur, even the way he behaves himself, it's like a lot of the people that you see behaving themselves now. And the prophet says many of them are good people. But there's a darkness. There's something that's pressing them to it. And friends, that's the day that we're living in. He says, more or less, it's a perversion. Women want to cut off their hair and act like a man and be in the army and all those kind of things and doing men's jobs and plumbers and builders. And you see women doing these kinds of things. Truck drivers. You know, those Big Mac trucks. Never used to be like that. A woman used to be feminine the way that God made woman. A man used to be masculine the way that God made man. But there's something that's been unleashed in this age. There's a dimension that's opened up. And there's a gross darkness that's come and has taken over this age. And it's this king of Sodom. And be careful, because he'll come try to come and visit you. Because what happens to Abraham happens to his seed after him. And the prophet says, man wants to act like woman. And yet you can talk to them and they're nice people to talk to. It's not the person, they're nice people. It's what the devil's doing to the person. Amen. The devil's put them in a prison house. That's how the prophet preaches, souls that are in prison now. They're like prisoners to it. They know inside of themselves that there's a recompense for what they're doing. That they're going to have to face up to God one day. Any genuine person knows that. But it's a darkness that's encroached and got a grip in the lives of people. And you can't set yourself free. It's the grace of God alone that sets you free. The prophet says, what's caused this? It's that gross darkness upon the people. It's something that pressed them into it. And that's why you have to keep the blood on the door. That's why you've got to keep the blood. You've got to keep the standard up there, friends. With whatever video games your children play, be careful. Amen. There's gross darkness in a lot of these video games. Amen. And the friends that your children associate with, be careful. Sometimes you're putting them right out into the midst of gross darkness. And they're going to look and they're going to see this influence and say, but why can't I be like that? Because it's a seductive spirit, friends. Amen. It's a seductive spirit. It's an all-pervading spirit. Because the Bible says, gross darkness shall be upon the people. It's like a thick cloud of darkness that settled over this generation. And it's reflected everywhere. It's reflected in the government policies that they're making. It's reflected in the content of the newspapers. It's reflected in the music of this age. It's reflected in everything that comes from the entertainment industry. There's nothing clean anymore that comes from it. It's all tainted and contaminated by darkness. The only thing that's clean is the Word. That's the only thing you'll find is the Word, the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. That's the only light that you're going to find in this age. And that's why to a believer, the prophet says, he says, I say to you, shalom. I say, God's peace upon you. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You may not have a lot of the things that you want, neither do I. But friends, let's really appreciate this grace of God. Let's really appreciate that His glory has visited us, put us in our right mind. That we see things the way that we are. We see things the way that He sees things. And it wasn't our intelligence that did it, friends. It was His elective love. It was His grace that came to us. When He saw that king of Sodom coming to us, the next verse, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. How came God Himself, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness? He came Himself and said, I'm getting there before the king of Sodom does his damage. The king of Sodom can do it wherever else he wants, but he's not doing it to my seed. And Melchizedek himself came down with the bread and wine. And he had this communion with Abraham. And in this communion, there was such an impact because Melchizedek said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. There was such a revelation. Abraham started to realize, no. I'm not just, like Brother Vitaly said, I'm not just the son of Charles and Ella Branham, like Brother Ram said, in things that are to be. But you start to realize who you are. You start to realize your origin. You start to realize your destiny. You start to realize what you were put here for. You and I were put here to be a witness unto the light. We were put here to be a light in the darkness. That's what we were put here for. But Melchizedek came down, and in this revelation, in this communion, there was all that Abraham needed to overcome the conditions of that day. This was what God provided for him. And Abraham, Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And then Abraham, in turn, blesses him and gives him a tithe of all. There was such a fellowship there. Friends, now that same Melchizedek is the same one who deals with you and me. Because his name has changed now to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because from the time that the Word became flesh, he's no more called Melchizedek. He's now called the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deals with us. And that's what the prophet is saying. Let's look in Genesis chapter 9. Read the first two verses. Let me show you what's actually happened in the spiritual realm. This is under the trumpets. Revelations 9. You know, we may not see it. The prophet says these are supernatural devils unseen to the eye. But you can see them by what they do. Revelations 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Imagine living in an age when the bottomless pit has been opened up. Hey, what comes out of the bottomless pit? Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. That's what's happened in the spiritual realm in this age, friends. You know, you can read it in Isaiah. I'll just quote it. Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. It's like hell has opened up its mouth and it's consuming this age. And the reason is people love darkness more than they love the light. Because the people love not the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You know, when God grants you grace and brings truth to you, friends, you've got to be so careful with what you do with that truth. Because there's no person goes into a greater darkness than a person who rejects the light. You see it with believers. Let a believer backslide. They'll do things that'll make your ears tingle. You'll never believe that a human being can do some of the things that Christians do when they backslide. Because that gross darkness, once you've been exposed to the light, and then you reject that truth, and you're given over to that darkness, friends, that's not a nice condition to be in. Remember that woman who blasphemed and And Brother Branham says when the Holy Ghost was doing the altar call and she was a minister's daughter, whatever, and then he says, I felt so constrained to say to her, come forward. Come and set your things in order before the Lord. And she hardened herself. And she refused to come. And she came to Brother Branham after and says, why did you humiliate me before the people? And Brother Branham says, but it was the Spirit of Christ that was dealing with you. And then he met her a while later, smoking a cigarette and drinking in the street. And she came and told him and said, do you know what happened that time? He came to offer Brother Branham a cigarette. And he said, shame on you. Offering a cigarette to a servant of God. And she said, do you know what happened to me? He says, that time, Christ was giving me a last call. Says, the Holy Ghost was really striving with me at that time. She says, but I resisted and then it departed from me. And she says, now I become so hard in myself that I could even see my mother's soul frying in hell like a pancake. And I wouldn't feel anything about it. And the prophet says, she crossed a certain line. When the light was presented to her, when grace was presented and God was trying to press in on the darkness inside of the of her life, and if she could have just opened up, the darkness would have been dispelled and she could have become a child of the light. But she refused to submit herself to that. And it said she hardened herself and she resisted the strivings of the Spirit of Christ as it was in the days of Noah. When the Lord said, my Spirit won't always strive with man. And friends, once she did that, she was given over now. And now she could do anything because the Holy Ghost was no longer striving with her. And imagine what it's going to be like after the rapture when the Holy Ghost is taken off the earth with the bride. Amen. Imagine what's going to take place. Paul says, he that restrains now, he that holds the things back is holding him. But soon he's going to let things go. And imagine the world without the restraining influence of the Spirit of Christ. When people are just given over. When you see the perversion now with the way that things are, imagine what it's going to be like then. You just have to read about the two angels going down into Sodom to get some kind of an understanding. Imagine angels coming to Sodom, coming down to Lot. And the men of the city from the whole city, the Bible says, they came from the north, south, east, and west to press themselves on his door. And says, bring out those men that came in unto you, that we may know them. Friends, that's gross darkness. Amen. But that was the same time that Melchizedek was coming to Abraham on the mountainside. The same time that Abraham saw three men walking. And Abraham, being a believer, he recognized God in his age. Amen. But the thing I like about it in Genesis 18 is that God didn't come in a mystic sort of a form. Amen. God assumed a human form. Amen. God put on flesh and blood, and he came and he sat with Abraham. And he had a meal with his friend Abraham. Amen. And friends, that's the relationship that our great Melchizedek wants to have with us. Amen. It mustn't be some mysterious something. Because God knows that revelation, what he's trying to teach us, has its best effect when we're in that kind of a condition. When he comes and he sits with us and there's a quietness of things. And you start to fellowship together, and then the Lord comes and starts to instruct you. And he started to show Abraham. And he says, Abraham, the cry of Sodom is great. It's come up to heaven. And I've come down to see. And Abraham now starts getting anointed now with the spirit of intercession because he realizes that God has had enough of the gross darkness. And that the fire is going to fall upon the darkness. And he knows that Lot and his family are down there. And Abraham now gets into the spirit of intercession. And that's the very reason maybe that the Lord came down and made those things known to him, was to anoint him at that time so that he would start to make intercession for Lot. But friends, that's the kind of time where you'll find favor that God has to his elect, but at the same time he's the judge of the earth to the rest. Amen. It's a serious kind of a time that we're living in. Amen. If you put the slide there, bro, I just wanted to show this picture because this is the one that the prophet again speaks of in Shalom. And just to show this contrast once again. This contrast about, you know, the prophet takes this picture in 1963 when the angels came down, when the cloud came down. And, you know, he speaks about it and he says, I'll just skip a little bit to, it is the rising of the sun. He speaks of this cloud and he says, if you'll turn the picture like this, that's the way the cloud was looking down, yeah? He says, but if you turn the picture, then if you'll turn, I just wanted to put that one, it's a better picture. He says, it's Christ wearing the white wig of supreme deity. Amen. In every Exodus, you go back to the Exodus, the first Exodus, you'd find, they call it the theophonic cloud, the cloud of the theophany. And this cloud came down and led the children of Israel. God came as the pillar of fire, and he came in this cloud of his theophany. And that cloud represented the fact that God in his theophany was present. That's what that cloud represented. It showed that Melchizedek was on the scene. Because Melchizedek is God in his word body. So it doesn't mean that Jesus himself, the one in his glorified body with the nail prints, was present. No. He comes back to the Mount of Olives. That's the time that we meet him. Amen. But this is Melchizedek himself. Bram says this is Jesus before he was made flesh. And this cloud represented that in the first Exodus. When they saw the cloud and Moses went up into the cloud, who did Moses meet in the cloud? He saw the back part of a man. When he said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord says, you can't see my face and live. And the Lord put him in a cleft in the rock. And then the Lord passed before him, declaring his name. And Moses saw God in his theophany. Imagine how real God was to that messenger. And the prophet says, why was it like that? He says, the word always comes to the prophet. So you'll find Melchizedek will come to Abraham. The word is coming to the prophet. Melchizedek will come down in the first Exodus to Moses. The word comes to the prophet. Then Jesus was the God prophet. And the word was in him. And he came to be baptized by John. The prophet says what? It was the word coming to the prophet. And in this age when God has his prophet, the word's going to come to the prophet. And that's who Melchizedek was. So you find this cloud, and the prophet, he picked it up from Life magazine, and he says, can you see his eyes, his nose, his mouth? With a clearer picture, you can see. We can't see it so much there. He says, but can you see it? He's the supreme judge. So he's coming because Melchizedek comes as judge. When he came down in Genesis 14, he was coming to judge Sodom. When he came in Genesis 18, Melchizedek in flesh to eat with Abraham. Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And God came down and says, the sin of Sodom, the cry is very great. In Genesis 14, 15, he says to Abraham, the cup of the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet quite full. But then it filled up to the measure. And God came down. So he comes down as the judge. When he came down to Moses in that form of a theophany, it was the end of the Egyptian age. It was judgment. Egypt never recovered from that day to this. God judged that superpower in that day. So when you find him coming in this form, it's a judgment sign. And that's why there's the theophonic cloud. There's a cloud that comes and there's the white wig. There's the supreme judge of all the earth. Friends, it's a serious thing to think that the judge put a representation of himself looking down. He was seeing the sins of Sodom, friends. Just as much as he did in Genesis 18. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis 18, it says, and the Lord set his face towards Sodom. Yes, sir. Amen. He looked towards Sodom. Amen. And those weren't eyes of mercy, friends, that he was looking with. Those weren't eyes of grace. Amen. Those were eyes of the supreme judge. Revelations 1, you see the theophany once again. You see Jesus himself, Melchizedek, and his eyes are like fire. Amen. And his hair is white like wool. That's why it's a serious time when Melchizedek comes down. These visitations are very serious junctions to navigate through. And that's why he'll never just allow his people to try to navigate themselves through these kind of times. He himself comes down, the great shepherd of the sheep, to navigate his people personally through these kind of times. And that's what he's done in our age as well. And that's what the message of the hour is, friends. It's Melchizedek's message. It's Melchizedek's bread and wine. Amen. It's Melchizedek's antidote to the Sodom condition of this day. Amen. Friends, that's what it is. The prophet says, can you see him? He's the supreme judge. There is none other but him. He's the most high God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth. That was the revelation that Melchizedek gave of himself to Abraham. But he associated Abraham with him. He said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. And when this cloud comes down, it's because there's a prophet. It's the season that he's going to meet his prophet in this commission to unveil these things. The prophet continues, paragraph 16, he says, the white you see the darkness of his face. If you had the clear picture, there's his face, but he's got the white wig on him. This is a notice. His beard, his eyes, he's looking. From him comes this light shining on the right-hand side. Friends, that's the part I like about that picture. There's a light shining from his right-hand side. To which he's looking to. He's looking to his right-hand side. On the cross. That's where he looked to the right when he pardoned the sinner. The prophet says, in the light of his resurrection, we go forth. So he's looking to the right. And that's why the prophet preached, Shalom. When he comes down as the supreme judge, he's looking to the right. He's looking at the elect lady and he's saying, it's okay. Shalom to the bride. It's his favor. It's his resurrection light that he's bringing to the believer. When there's gross darkness upon the people, when the world is consumed in this gross darkness, he himself comes down and brings the light. And it's the light of the resurrection, the prophet says. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And he's coming down to reflect that light to the one that's been pardoned on the right hand side. To the elect, the one that was to be with him in paradise that day. But to the other one, it was judgment. The one on his left, the same Jesus on the cross that gave pardon to this one, became the judge of this one. His manifestation simply manifested the judgment of this man. When this man was rejecting the light, saying, if you be the Son of God, take yourself down off the cross. Showing that whenever Melchizedek comes like this, you're going to have the critics, friends. You're going to have the critics. The critics were there on the cross. The critics were standing at the foot of the cross. Just be careful the atmosphere that you keep your soul in. I was listening to Brother Biscoll. He preached a very good message. And he was speaking about the harvest. And he was speaking about different things that take place in the harvest time. And he says, it was interesting the way he said it. He says, people many times phone me up or contact me and say, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And he says, and I say to the people, no, I didn't. And they said, why not? And he says, that's not my kingdom. That's not my kingdom. I mustn't spend my time in that kingdom. He says, I hardly have enough time to get in the word. Why do I want to be fellowshipping with those things of darkness? And he says, in the moment you're going to give your ear to those things, a dark cloud comes upon you. Then a few minutes after you heard that thing, you wish you had never heard it. Amen. That's why my policy, I stay away from those things. Amen. I don't want to hear what the critic has to say. Amen. Friends, I found something that transformed my life. Amen. I found something that revealed my destiny and my purpose to me. And when I walk in this channel under this anointing, everything has a purpose. Everything has a meaning. There's a quickening. There's something that makes me love the word. Something that makes me love Christ. Why do I want to step out of that dimension and go and read what the critic has to say? I'm not interested in what the critic has to say. Judas spent too much time with the critics and look what happened to him. Amen. He went down and he listened to the critics. And they were all saying, is a prophet supposed to come from Nazareth? But Jesus wasn't from Nazareth. He was from Bethlehem. Amen. You see how they misunderstood, but they would say it now to Judas and say, but the Bible says there's no prophet that comes from here. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Be careful. Amen. Be careful when people twist those things and present them in certain ways. And the reason why Brother Biscoe was speaking about that thing, he was saying, the people that came when Jesus, right at the end, those false witnesses, and one of them said he told people not to pay taxes and he wants to make himself a king greater than Caesar. Jesus never said those things. Amen. It was a false witness. And when they said, he said he's going to destroy this temple. He never said that. He said, destroy this temple. Right. You see how they twist and misinterpret the spirit of what things were really said in and the real purpose that those things were said for. And Brother Biscoe was saying, do you think they could have made websites in that day about what Jesus had said? Yes. They would have done it in that day. They could have taken things that Paul said, could have taken things like we said the other day, that Job said. Job said many things that he regretted at a later stage, I do believe. When he said, cursed be the day that I was born and all those things. You could have made a good website about the sayings of the prophet. Yet, at the end, Brother Donny Reagan preached on that. At the end of it all those critics who came, even the brothers from church who came with the spirit of criticism, what happened? God says, you call for my prophet Job. Because unless he prays for you, you're not going to be healed. And you can see the witness that heaven had of that man in his ministry. But people had come down from that dimension and had come down into this natural dimension. This way, darkness influences us. And they were seeing things through the lens of that darkness, seeing things as natural people. Friends, don't spend time there. Don't waste your time there. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place. If there's something that blesses your soul, if there's something that feeds your soul, if there's something that gives you authority over the devil, if there's something that lights your path and each day you're walking in the light of the word, why not stay there? Amen. Why not guard that and protect that and feed that experience and push on in the things of the kingdom? But friends, it's a darkness, and I really do believe that believers many times, because of the realm of the internet, we shouldn't read some of the things that we do. A lot of the things is nonsense. We saw at that time when the people said Brother Branham's vision of the brown bear was wrong, remember? And then Brother Biscoe came and showed the whole truth of the issue. Now you'll find it, but if you just read that, you would think, this man prophesied something that never came to pass. And unless God has a witness to come and minister to help you, because you've been fellowshipping in that darkness, you'll find yourself in trouble. Amen. You'll find yourself doubting certain things. And Brother Biscoe knew it well enough. He says, when I was young, and he says, I just heard about the man, about Brother Branham, and he was praying for the sick in the 1950s. He says, and all these other ministries were rising up, and he said, I saw those ministries fall one by one. He says, one went into women, one went into popularity, one was taken by money. He says, but I always saw that one ministry. And I had a hope to say, there's one man, there's a ministry there that hasn't fallen with these things. He said, excuse me, and then one brother came to visit me and said, have you heard what William Branham's preaching these days? You know those kind of times. You know there's about to be a dark cloud in your house. Amen. The moment someone opens their mouth like that, do you know what he's preaching these days? He said that Cain is the son of the serpent. And Brother Biscoe says there was a deep heaviness settled in my heart. Why? Because he was hoping, he's looking all around in the confusion, and he's found something that looks like it's going to stand the test of time. Something genuine in the midst of it all. And here comes somebody well-meaning and comes and says that. And Brother Biscoe said, but surely that can't be. And then he said, I heard from somebody else that he was preaching and saying that people should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'd always wondered about that, but most of my friends baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He says, that was the second question that I had. That was sitting heavy in my heart. And the third one was the Godhead. People were saying that he taught that God is one. He says, most of the people that I knew believed that God was three. He says, I had these three weighty questions. He says, and when I invited Brother Brandon to come up, arranged the meetings in Port Albert and those places, and then went with him and Billy Paul up hunting to Brother Bud Southwick, he says, those questions were still in my heart. He says, although I'd seen great manifestation, saw the discernment, he said, those things were still there. Friends, that's what it does to you. Amen. Those things stay there until God has grace upon you. He says, and then we're driving in the car and we drove past a certain house. And the prophet says, there was a certain man in the prayer line last night. He's dying of cancer. And Brother says, he says, I know the man well. And Brother says, he's in that house over there. And Brother Biscoe said, I didn't know that because where I knew the man, he used to live in another house. He says, as soon as I got to Brother Bud, I said, Brother Bud, when we're in the car, Brother Bram said, in that certain house, that man's living there. And Brother Bud said, yes, he just moved there recently. Amen. You see how it was. And then they're sitting at the table and the angel of the Lord comes down. And Brother Biscoe is sitting with these weighty questions. He's trying to believe. He wants to believe. But he's got these doubts. And the Brahman says, Brother Bram, there was a lady that was brought through the prayer line, Brother Eddie. Another lady brought you through. And Brother Biscoe said, no, I can't remember. It said, yes, she's a blind lady. And the other lady gave up her prayer card to bring the blind lady through. If I ask him, he'll tell me her name. And Brother Biscoe says, in the restaurant, Brother Bram just sat back and said, her name is Mrs. Fair. In English, we would say fear, but her name is Mrs. Fair. She's a German lady. And he says, and she must be praying now. Yes, she's got gallstones. And he gets into that supernatural realm. He's in fellowship with Melchizedek right in the restaurant. And Melchizedek is revealing himself, the possessor of the heavens of the earth. And Brother Biscuit says, but there were still these questions. So we went out hunting. He says, and then Brother Bram says, I want to go out and shoot a couple of prairie chickens for like camp meat. And Brother Bud says, I'll go with you. And Brother Biscuit said, I so much would have liked to have gone. And then Brother Bud says, no, I don't think I'll go. And Brother says, Brother Eddie, would you like to come? And they start walking in the coolness of things through the woods. See the grace of God, friends. Amen. And then Brother says, Brother Eddie, I love you like a son. If there's anything I could do to help you, I'd do it. And he says, then we sat down in this log. And Brother Biscuit, he says, and Brother said, Brother Eddie, you see that mountain up there? I was riding up there with Bud on the horses. And while I was there, he came to me. And I believe you have three questions. Hallelujah. And he says he brought them one after another. He says, first question is the serpent seed. The second one is water baptism. Third one is the Godhead. Amen. And Brother Biscuit said, I brought up all my reasonings to say, but how can Cain be of the seed of the serpent? Because Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And Brother Ram said to him, that's exactly the truth. And Brother Eddie said, I didn't expect him to say that. He said, this was my great argument against. And he says to me, that's exactly the truth. And he says, and I liked so much what he said. He said, Brother Eddie, no man can persuade you of these things. God has to reveal them to a man. Amen. But I'll pray for you, and you pray, and God will reveal it to you. And Brother Eddie said, I started to pray. Then God started to open the things up. And then I started to understand why there had to be a virgin birth. And, you know, all these different things. Why man born of a woman is of few days and full of sorrow and so forth. And God set the man free. But you can see the danger.
Amen.
Sometimes when there's an answer to the things, friends, and you go in fellowship with the things where you're not going to find the answers. You know, he says one other thing in that message. He says, in Judas, after he fellowshiped with that darkness and he betrayed the Lord, then he wanted to repent. And he went to the temple and he threw the money in the temple and said, I betrayed the blood of an innocent man. Brother Biscuit says one thing there. He says, you know what? It's good that he wanted to repent, but he's repenting to the wrong people.
Amen.
What's he repenting to? The high priest? He should have been coming to Jesus to repent. He should have been coming to the disciples and saying, brothers, a spirit overtook me. A spirit of unbelief. I fellowshiped with darkness and the darkness overtook me. Pray for me, brothers. Help me to break through. Because Peter also betrayed him and denied Jesus.
Amen.
But he wept bitterly and he came back to the Lord and there was mercy and there was grace.
Amen.
To restore him from that condition. Amen. Friends, these are dangerous times when there's this darkness around.
Amen.
And even though Melchizedek himself can come down, the Lord Jesus Christ in his theophany, Revelation 10 verse 1, a mighty angel clothed with a cloud, with a rainbow, the covenant angel with the open book. Though he may come down, but be careful because the devil knows how much you and I need that.
Amen.
Because this is Melchizedek coming down with his pardon. He's coming down with grace. He's coming down with shalom to his bride. But friends, a pardon is only a pardon if you receive it as a pardon.
Amen.
Imagine that man was sent a pardon. The presidential pardon. The man was in prison. The man had left his post of duty because of his fear in the midst of a battle. And they went to Abraham Lincoln because the man was to be put to death for desertion the next day. And they went to Abraham Lincoln and pleaded the case of the man. There was intercession made on his behalf. And the president himself, he had mercy towards the man. The attribute of mercy inside of this, the king, the president of the land, was towards this young man. And he says, I don't want that young man to die under that curse. And Abraham Lincoln just takes a normal piece of paper and signs it and says, pardon such and such, Abraham Lincoln. And they take it to the prison and they give it to that young man. And the young man, because of the way that it was presented to him, because grace came in a form that he didn't expect it to come.
Amen.
God hid himself in such a simplicity.
Amen.
The man didn't accept his pardon. And friends, when I find people in this day rejecting the cloud and stuff, they're rejecting their pardon.
Amen.
They reject. He's coming down to give grace to the elect lady. He's coming down looking to his right in this midst of gross darkness, as it was in the days of Noah. And people are rejecting the pardon because it didn't come in the form which they understand that it should come in. Friends, it's a dangerous thing to do. And that young man rejected his pardon, was put to death, and it went to the Supreme Court because they said the man was given a pardon, but then he was still punished for his crime. And then they had to make the ruling to say a pardon is only a pardon when it's accepted as a pardon. You have to accept your pardon. That's why I say, friends, it's a day. How can people reject? People say this cloud had nothing to do with Brother Bram, but he was there at that season. He was there in the desert, a cloud 27 miles high, 30 miles across. And you turn the cloud and it's perfectly Hoffman's head of Christ. Like I said, people said it was a rocket that made it. It's an even greater miracle that a rocket made it than angels made it to me if it was a rocket. If you think, it wasn't a rocket. It was a theophonic cloud. It's the day that we're living in. It says the Son of Man cometh with the clouds of heaven. They represent something. They represent something. It represents that Melchizedek is near. It represents that it's a time that the supreme judge of all the earth is near. And friends, if you can be on his right hand side and he looks down to you at that time and says, Shalom to my bride. And he grants you, what more do you want? Because the prophet says that's the light of the resurrection. Because whenever Melchizedek comes, there's going to be a resurrection. He comes to Abraham, the bodies are changed. He comes in the flesh in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a resurrection of all the Old Testament saints. He empties paradise out. And now we're living in the season of the resurrection once again. This is a resurrection sign, friends. This is the day that you're living in. That's why he said, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen on you. But gross darkness is going to be upon the people. Gross darkness upon the people. That's the mixture that we're living in. But we need to make our choice which side of the camp we're on. Are we going to be with the Egyptians in their 3 days of darkness? Or are we going to take our stand with the Lord's despised few, the mud daubers, and they had light in their dwellings? Amen. They could see clearly at a time when the world couldn't see clearly. Amen. And it wasn't because they were a better class of people. It was the grace of God to Amen. Them. It was Melchizedek's pardon that he comes down with. But you've got to receive it as a pardon. And that's what was going on at this kind of a time. And that's why he comes down to Abraham as Melchizedek. The prophet says, in the light of his resurrection, we still go forth in his name. Friends, it's a serious, serious day that we're living in. And anybody who gets in the spirit will realize that. Now the prophet uses Genesis 14. When Melchizedek comes, he says it's a type of the coming of the Lord. He says this in the Hebrew series. He says, notice again, Melchizedek went to meet Abraham before he got back home. So Abraham had gone out doing the work of the Lord. He was coming back after the battle was over. And Melchizedek came to meet him on the way home. And friends, he's met us on the way home. He's come with his blessing. He's come with the bread and the wine on the way home. So first it speaks of the king of Sodom. Then it speaks of Melchizedek coming down to meet Abraham on his way home. Then it speaks of the king of Sodom once again. And friends, we saw Melchizedek come down. And then it seems like he's disappeared. He hasn't disappeared. He's God on Morphe. He's just changed form from one to another. He's in his bride. He's in his people. That's where you're going to find him now. But now we, like Abraham, have to face up to the king of Sodom. And he's going to come and make his offer to us. And Abraham had the revelation. He says, I'm not going to touch a thread of yours. Amen. I don't mind your threads. Amen. I'm not touching the fashions of this world. Anything that's touched by you, I'm not going to have any part with it. Or a shoe latchet. I'm not going to put on them high heels and them fashions that they're putting on now. He says, I'm going to have nothing to do with you. Amen. Lest you should say, you've given me my inheritance. My inheritance comes from above. That's what Abraham wanted, his inheritance. But it was the power of that visitation. It was the power of that revelation. It was the power of that Melchizedek's bread and wine that empowered him to easily overcome the conditions of that day. And to a believer, friends, it's not hard overcoming the conditions of this day. The hardest thing to overcome is yourself. That's the real battle. Jesus said, I have overcome the world for you. Jesus said that. be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We don't have to overcome it. We just have to fellowship with him. We just have to recognize who it is that we're fellowshipping with. Take advantage of what the Lord's done. The prophet says we meet Jesus in the air before we get home. 2 Thessalonians. It says these types are all perfect. So it's a type of the coming of the Lord. If I can give you another type within a type. If you find it in the book of Genesis when Joseph was sent down into a prison. It was the king's prison. There were souls that were in prison. There were souls that were under a condemnation at that time. And Joseph comes down. He's sent down. He's Zaphnath Pioneer. He's the revealer of secrets. He's a perfect type of Christ. And he comes right down there to where they are bound in prison. It's a type of our age, friends. Type of our age. And those two young men are under the condemnation of the king. If something doesn't happen to the butler or the baker, they're both going to perish. But one of them's not ordained to perish. One of them, the cupbearer, the butler, he is ordained to be restored back to the position that he had at the right hand of the king. That is what he was ordained unto. But what did he need? He needed Zaphnath Pioneer to come to him. He needed the mystery to be unsealed to him, the mystery of his life. The prophet says, the secret of our lives has now been revealed. And down comes Zaphnath Pioneer, Joseph, right into the midst, and they're under that cloud of darkness. And they're both sad and they're troubled. And Joseph said, what's troubling you so much? They said, we've dreamt a dream. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? And the cupbearer, the butler, he says, I dreamt the vine. I was taking the vine, three branches, squeezing it and giving it into the hands of Pharaoh because he was the cupbearer. And Joseph gets in the spirit and here comes the pardon to the thief on the right. And says, thus saith the Lord, after 3 days, you'll be restored. So what's happening up there? The king says, go and search through the records. Go and find out what the butler's in the prison for. And they can't find any record of his transgression. They can't find any record. That's how we sing the song. What does that song say about justified? You never did it in the first place. And Pharaoh looks through and says, bring him back. He never did it in the first place. And he's restored to the right hand of Pharaoh. And then the other man, now see how there's always the contrast. Amen. There's pardon to one and there's judgment to the other in this kind of a visitation. The baker says, this is wonderful. This is a wonderful message. Let me find my part in this message. And he says, what about me? I dreamt that I had three baskets on my head and there were different types of baked meats in the basket and the birds of the air came and ate all the bread. Joseph straight away gets in the spirit and says, you are a soul in prison. Because after 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift your head off you. He's going to kill you. You see, it's always like that, friends. In these kind of times, there's grace extended to Abraham. Amen. But it's judgment to Sodom. Amen. It's grace extended to Noah and his family. And you think of that day in the days of Noah. It was a serious time. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. When God came down to him at the very beginning of that move and gave him the dimensions of the ark, there wasn't room for a lot of people in there. So although he had to preach, Noah, preach of righteousness as a witness for 120 years, there wasn't room for all those people in the ark. It's a strange message, friends. You're preaching a message to people, but there's no room in the ark. Because God knows who's coming and who's not. And then Jesus, now when he died on the cross, and his theophany went down there, the Bible says, to preach to the souls that are in prison, who repented not in the days of Noah. And Jesus gave a witness to them down there in the regions of the lost and said, I'm the one that Noah was speaking about. Amen. You should have listened to his message. But friends, these kind of days are dangerous kind of times. Because the vast majority of the people aren't going to accept a pardon in this day. But there's a shalom to the bride. Amen. There's a shalom to the people of God. Amen. When the supreme judge comes down, he's a supreme judge to Sodom. Amen. He says, Abraham's my friend. He's a friend to Abraham. Amen. He's coming to eat veal and he's coming to drink buttermilk, the prophet says, with Abraham. Amen. That's the kind of fellowship and the communion that he desires to have with us. Let's turn it before we close. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 because, like I say, you don't want to keep things too cryptic. Hebrews chapter 5. really say, God bless you to Sister Tariro there. She was hiding behind somebody's head. God bless you. Hebrews 5, verse 5. We're just speaking about Melchizedek's pardon, friends. It's a wonderful thing to be a recipient of his pardon in this age, in this dark age. Hebrews chapter 5. Paul now speaks of Melchizedek. We know it well. And he says in verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was Melchizedek, made flesh, because it says it in the next verse. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, Melchizedek, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. Can you see how this great Melchizedek comes down in such a humility, such a simplicity that your brother says we see him, baby Jehovah crying in a manger over the manure. Imagine, in a stable, born in a stable. This great one, the possessor of heavens and earth, but he so much wants to fellowship with us. He so much wants to be so close and so personal to us. He wants that personal communion with us. So he becomes down in the flesh. And he humbles himself and he takes on the form of a servant. And then Paul says, let this mind be in you that was also in him. That though he was God, though he was Melchizedek, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he stripped himself, he humbled himself. He went through the days of his flesh. And that's exactly the time that we're living in, friends. You and I. God is so near to you. So real, this Melchizedek. He so much wants to fellowship with you, to be in every decision that you make, to speak that still small voice, and no matter what circumstances you find yourself in. But you've got to receive him the right way. Amen. If you don't receive him the right way, you never get the benefits of who he is. Amen. How many times did the prophet preach those messages? Jesus with dirty feet. The unwelcomed Christ. Meanest man I know. Meanest man in Santa Maria. Meanest man in all the town. How many times he'd go to those full gospel businessmen in their riches and their luxury, like Jesus when he came down Melchizedek in flesh. It was the Laodicean age of the Jewish church. It was the end of the Jewish age. They were rich. Simon the Pharisee was rich. And they invite Jesus to come to the feast, to make fun of him. Can you see the kind of times that we're living in, friends? That's what Laodicea does to him. It invites him to make fun of him. And then he gets down, and you know the story well. And when you get down to the feast, there's supposed to be the man that washes your feet. Then they're supposed to give you the rose of Sharon, the balm of Gilead, for you to anoint yourself. And then you're supposed to get the kiss of welcome from the host. And then you can feel at home. But here comes Melchizedek, God in flesh, the Word made flesh. Imagine. Imagine the potential that there was there that day for any situation, for any need that anybody had there. But how many of them benefited from that visitation? And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, in the flesh. And he comes to that place, and they don't wash his feet. They don't anoint his head. He's come. The prophet says he'll come whenever you invite him. He'll always be there. But what you're going to get from the visitation of Melchizedek depends on your approach. Depends on how you appreciate his visitation. And then he comes in, and then Simon puts him sitting in a corner, and there's Jesus with dirty feet. Luke chapter 7. And the prophet says they only brought him there to make fun of him. He was the trump card to get all the people to come and see Simon's great feast, Simon the Pharisee. That was the religious order of that day. That was like the full gospel businessmen when the prophet would preach to them. They didn't realize who it was. They thought it was just a gift of wisdom that the man had. They didn't realize that Melchizedek himself would come down and reveal himself through the ministry of that man. That same Melchizedek that came down to Abraham and said, where is Sarah, your wife? When her name was Sarai, where's Sarah? She's in the tent. And then she laughs in herself. And Melchizedek says, why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? And that same Melchizedek, how many times did he come down in the pillar of fire and he'd come down and reveal himself in that way, showing the day that we're living in.
Amen.
And they never recognized what that visitation meant. They could have received Melchizedek's pardon. They could have received a shalom if they'd have recognized it. But instead, look at the gross darkness they've gone into now. Look at their great leader there, Kenneth Copeland, now making his videos and sending it to the Pope and receiving the Pope's blessing on a video to the people that have watched it. It's scary to see.
Amen.
And they put in the Catholic priest in their pulpit. And that Catholic priest comes and says, do you people know, to Kenneth Copeland's church, says, do you people know what caused the Reformation? He says, what caused the Reformation? He said it was justification by faith. That's what made the difference. He says, but we Catholics, he says, in the council of whatever, Second Vatican Council, it was issued by the Pope that people are justified by faith. So imagine, that priest says, so, he says, there's no more need for the Reformation. He says, so why are there Protestant churches now? That's what he says to the people. And look how excited Kenneth Copeland gets about that. What is it, friends? Gross darkness upon the people. That's the king of Sodom. That's the pale horse rider coming to them. That's the king of Babylon. The angel who has the key to the bottomless pit, the prophet says. He ascends from the bottomless pit. That's the revived Roman Empire in this age, coming with its gross darkness to unite the churches back, to bring them, make a covenant with death like the Bible says. But they had Melchizedek right in their midst, revealing himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they left him with dirty feet. They never gave him the kiss of welcome when he came. They never anointed him, and they never made him feel welcome. And friends, the prophet says, whenever he comes, worship him. Make sure that he feels welcome. When he draws near to you, don't worry about the cups and the plates and the dishes and your roast that's still in the oven or your shopping that you've got to do. Forget about those things. Worship him. Take advantage when he draws near. And imagine the darkness in that place, and there's Jesus sitting with dirty feet. But then there was a woman who typed you and I. She had been caught up in her prostitution, in her harlotry, the prophet says, like Rahab. The mother and her harlot daughters, we'd all been caught up in those systems, friends. And she had heard about Jesus. But she had never yet had an opportunity to really meet him. And since she heard all the ruckus that's taking place, and she wonders who everybody is, and she goes down there to Simon's house, and she looks through the fence, and she sees Jesus with dirty feet. And something moves within her. Because it's her time. It's her time to receive her pardon. It's her time to realize who she is in the mind of God. That's her time to come out of the darkness now and to shine. Arise and shine. Her time has come. And she comes, and the thing I like about that visitation, she recognizes that for me to serve God, I need to serve the body. She has to minister to his body. That's what she's going to minister. Jesus' body had a need at that time. His soul was fine. He was Melchizedek in his soul. But his body had a need. His feet were dirty. His neck was sunburned. His face was full of sweat. He was just looking for someone to give him the kiss of welcome. And friends, he's the unwelcomed Christ. He stands at the door and he knocks. That's Laodicea, the age that we're living in. People want religion. Like Brother Max was saying, people want manifestation and that. Friends, we need relationship with him. Fellowship with him. Let everything else take care of itself from there. But get the relationship right first. Worship him. Minister to him. And she saw her opportunity that she could do something for the body. It's the same as us, friends. And she looked at the gifts and the talents that she had, the resources that she had. And she took all of those resources that she had, and she went and poured them out on the table and said, give me the best perfume that you've got. Give me the best. Because friends, when you're going to minister to Melchizedek in his body, give the best that you've got. Pour it out, friends. Don't give your best to your boss at work. Give your best to him. Give your best to his service. Reserve the best for him. Give him the choice portion of your day. Give him the choice portion of your time. Let it be an acceptable offering, because that's what he's looking for in this day. Our rejected king still looking for a fresh drink, the prophet says, of the waters of Bethlehem. This is true Pentecostal worship. So that's what he's looking for. That's worship in spirit and in truth. And we know how she comes and breaks through all the hall of critics. Friends, to serve him in this day, you're always going to have to go through the critics. Amen. That room was full of critics. Amen. She had to break through all the criticism. Hallelujah. All the things people believed about him. Imagine, Melchizedek in the flesh, and people didn't believe in him. They were saying he had an illegitimate birth, and he said this and that, and it wasn't true. Can you see that? It's exactly the day that we're living in, friends. It's exactly. And then finally, she breaks through into his presence. And the prophet says, she was the reason that he was there. That's the reason that he came, because he knew she would be there. And then she comes and changes the whole atmosphere of the place. And she breaks that perfume and anoints him. And she kisses his feet and washes them with her tears. Pours the oil on his head. And now look at the way he looks at her. Here comes Melchizedek's pardon. Here's the pardon. Your sins that were many are all forgiven. Go in peace. Shalom to the bride. Go in peace. And then he looks with eyes like fire at Simon, the religious system, and says, "And Simon, I have something to say to you." It's always like that. And there wasn't one word of commendation to Simon. There wasn't one word of hope to Simon. He said, "I came to your house. You never washed my feet. You never anointed my head. You never gave me the kiss of welcome. But ever since she came, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. She hasn't stopped ministering to me. And I say to her, sins are forgiven." And in his heart he says, "Who can forgive sins?" And he picked it up and he says, "Yes, I know her sins, and they are many. But they're all forgiven her for the greatness of her love." Go in peace. That Melchizedek's pardon. It's always going to be like that, friends. It's always going to be like that. That's why when you get an opportunity to do something for him, amen, do it, friends. Amen. Do it with all your heart. What resources do you have? She only just had a little bit of something, but she did something that's recorded in the word. And Jesus said, "Wheresoever the gospel shall be preached, this shall be spoken as a memorial of her." Oh, friends, don't you want to leave a memorial? You and I will never do the fullness of what you want to do for him. But when you get the opportunity, Jesus said, "She's done for me what she could." And that's what he wants us to do as well. I'll finish with one more example. I take it from the message, "Believest Thou This." Just how important it is to recognize and to the right attitude and the right approach to get the blessing from these visitations that he gives in these junctions of time. It's not enough just to sit like the prophet said, to sit around it. That'll do you no good. He said it just brings a greater condemnation, because to him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's counted as sin. And the prophet speaks now about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I'll just take one little piece of how he expresses it here. And imagine, that was Melchizedek in the flesh. That was the Lord God, possessor of heaven and earth, dwelling in the flesh. But in such a humility, in such a simplicity, that's how the message of the hour always is. But the potential that was in him. And they had Jesus in their house, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, many times. He used to love going to Bethany, to their house. He felt at home there. But he never fully expressed to them who he was. Never fully expressed that. And the prophet says, he speaks different things about it, but then he says, watch. He went over to live with Martha and Mary and them at Bethany. Then he was called away. Okay, so we know it's all part of the great vision. Lazarus has to die. And then he speaks about what happens when Jesus isn't there. He says, and Lazarus died. It was the darkest hour that home ever saw. Now, they'd left their church. They'd been put out of the synagogue to follow Jesus. And it seemed he had disappointed them. You see those conditions that come in the message. People will have given everything, and it seems, but I've done everything that I can, but it just seems... He's disappointed me just when I needed him to help me. Why? He's silent. Things don't work the way that they should. It wasn't an easy time. But these are the days of our flesh.
Amen.
Jesus had to go through that in the days of his flesh. And these times of our flesh, although you may have received his favor, his grace, his pardon, you may have received his visitation, you may have had, like they had, communion with him in their home many, many times. They'd break bread with Melchizedek himself made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there came a testing time now when people started to try to get him to disbelieve the things which they had believed. That's what happened. And Lazarus dies. We know that. And then here he comes. The Bible says, then Jesus came. It seemed like Martha and Mary had a right to scold him. They had every right, friends, to scold him. To say, why didn't you come? Now Martha had been dilatory in many things. But when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Our friends, I love that. You've got to respond. No matter the condition that you are, don't sit in your condition and perish in that condition.
Amen.
When he draws near, when you know that he's coming, when you know that he's near, rise up and go and meet him, even if you've got questions and things that you don't understand, and disappointments that you're going through, and it's your darkest hour. It's not going to help to sit down there among the mourners in the mourner's bench.
Amen.
To sit among the critics in their house, the people trying to tell them, yeah, that guy let you down. We knew he had let you down. We told you should never have left the synagogue. That's what they were telling them. But she rose up out of the atmosphere and she went to where he was. And that's where the solution's going to come. The prophet says about the people, now, I can hear the old Pharisee standing on the corner there saying, ha ha, where did that holy roller go now, that divine healer? There's his buddy laying sick. He's dead now. Why didn't he come? I told you it was all mental telepathy anyhow. I told you there's nothing to it. Friends, that's the day we're living in, friends.
Amen.
That's exactly the time that we're living in. Be careful.
Amen.
I'm not going to stop on the street corner and start to debate with Mr. Pharisee at a time like that. I'm going to try to get myself to where he is. Because that's where the solution is.
Amen.
That's where the resurrection faith is.
Amen.
That's where the answer to my situation is.
Amen.
It's not down here with Mr. Critic Pharisee.
Mm.
It's up there where Melchizedek is. In flesh. There they are standing on the corner. Here comes little Martha saying, and the people say, there goes one of them now. There's one of their message believers. We threw her out of the synagogue. I think she'll be coming back. Brother says, she said, go on with your old synagogue. She was making her way to meet Jesus. She had something to see to him.
Amen.
I believe she had read the story of the Shunammite woman.
Hallelujah.
She had read the story when that young boy died and that woman didn't understand what was going on. And Elijah sent his servants and said, go and lay my staff. And that woman said, the staff's not enough.
Amen.
I know that God is in his prophet.
Amen.
I want him to come.
Amen.
Now, Martha had probably read that story. But instead of scolding him, saying, why didn't you come? No, she ran right up to where he was at. And she fell down at his feet. And she said, Lord. Can you see the key? It doesn't matter what you've been through, friends. It doesn't matter the disappointment. Keep the right attitude towards the word. Keep the right attitude towards him. Keep the right attitude towards his body. Because inside of him, right there, was all that she needed to minister to her situation. But she needed the right attitude. And she fell down and she says, Lord. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. But watch, but even now, Lord.
Amen.
He had been dead 4 days, but even now, Lord. She could start to believe for things that were impossible. Why? Because she was in that presence now. Jesus had come, as we said before. He was now anointed with that anointing of the resurrection. He was in the vision coming to raise Lazarus. And when she came, fell at his feet with the right attitude, that anointing started to anoint her as well. And she could start to believe now for things that she could never have believed before. It's the same as us, friends, keeping the right attitude. The prophet says, now watch that old prophetic wheels moving together. There's a woman in distress. Her brother's dead. She's coming to the only resource that can give him life. And she's meeting the conditions. She said, Lord, something beginning to come together now. Something's going to happen. Friends, that's the greatest advice that you can get. Whatever condition you're in, don't stay in that condition. Amen. Don't perish in that condition. Amen. If you have questions, ask your questions. If you have doubts, speak out your doubts. If there's things you don't understand, if there's a question, there's got to be an answer. But you know, many times we do that. We like perish in our silence. We keep it to ourselves. She went to the place where she knew the answer was.
Amen.
She knew, this is the only place I'm going to find life. Let me get myself in the presence of the resurrection and the life. And what a difference. The prophet says, everything moving just right. She said, yes, Lord. I believe you are who you say that you are.
Amen.
If we had the picture still there. I believe he is who he says that he is.
Amen.
In the day of the critics, I believe that you are who you say that you are.
Amen.
If you want that light, that glory of the resurrection on the right hand side, you've got to be like Martha. I believe you're the Son of God that was to come into the world.
Amen.
Prophet says, something's got to happen. There she was recognizing his deity.
Amen.
Recognizing his authority.
Hallelujah.
He's the supreme authority.
Amen.
From the West.
Amen.
Recognizing what relationship he was to Almighty God. She was recognizing it. She said, you're just exactly what you said you were. Something's got to happen now. The strings are coming together. He said, where have you buried him? And away that they went. Then the prophet finishes with this, and I'll finish with it as well. He gives an example. He says, the next paragraph, he says, not long ago, a Christian Science woman came to me. Listen how he expresses it now. And says, you put too much emphasis on the deity of Jesus Christ. She said, you've read too much about him. You're a God. Everybody's a God in themselves. I said, no, no. She said, he was no more than a man. I said, he was God. She said, he couldn't have been. I'll prove it to you by the scripture. He was no more than a mere man. Will you accept it? I said, yes, ma'am, if the scripture says he was a real man, I'll believe it. But first, I want to know where you're going. She said, I'll prove it. When Jesus was going down to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible said he wept. That showed that he was mortal, that he wept like a man. I said, that's true, lady. He was a man when he was weeping. When he went to the grave, he sorrowed with the rest of them. You see how personal he wants to be to us? How he wants to associate with us in our sorrow, associate with us in what we're going through. He joyed with the rest of them when they were joyful. But he was more than a man. Because when he got to the grave of Lazarus, weeping like a man, he stood there. He pulled his little self together and said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that had been dead for 4 days, his soul's 4 days' journey. Corruption knew its master. Brother, that was more than a man speaking. I'll say it. That was Melchizedek in a man. That was God speaking in his man. Do you believe that? He says he was a man when he came down off the mountain that day so hungry. Trying to find something to eat, he was hungry. But when he took 5 biscuits, 2 little fish and broke them and fed 5,000, that was more than a man.
Amen.
That was God speaking out of that man. He was the God man. That's right. Friends, that's who he is. That's who this Melchizedek is. And he's in his people now. And we can minister to his body. Then he finishes off. He says, he was a man when he screamed for mercy yonder at Calvary, hanging between the heavens and the earth, bleeding out his blood, the blood of Jehovah himself dropping down upon the sinful world, bathing it with his blood. When he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a man. And when he died, but on Easter morning, when the tomb broke and the seals of death and cords were unloosed, and he rose from death triumphant, he proved that he was God.
Amen.
He says, hallelujah. And that's the proof, friends, of it.
Amen.
That's the resurrection. He today is the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life. But he hides himself. He veils himself in such a simplicity. He can go silent at certain times and leave you. And you seem that he's not hearing what you're saying. He's watching. He knows the season. He knows the time. But it just needs the right people with the right attitude at the right time. And then he shows that he's more than a man. And then Melchizedek speaks into your situation. And something changes. Oh, friends, it's a day of darkness and light. It's a day of darkness. It's gross darkness upon the people. But arise and shine, for your light has come. It's our opportunity. Like the one Brother Spencer preached, it's our time. It's our time to shine. And you might say, but what am I supposed to do? What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Put it into his hands and use it for the glory of God. And see how he'll prove himself. And friends, with all the criticism that goes on, and all the churches say this, and all the churches say that, and we have all of our differences here and there. You know what the great, great time is when God's going to testify of who's who? Is the resurrection. Is the resurrection. When they were saying to Paul, Paul, you're not an apostle, you have all these problems and so forth. He said, let me glory a little bit. He says, I knew a man in Christ who went up into the third heaven. That was his greatest vindication that he could look at, that he was a child of God. And Jesus, when they came back having cast out devils and they were rejoicing, he says, don't rejoice because the devils are cast out. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And friends, on that resurrection morning, when the last trump sounds, God's going to show who's who. God's going to show who's bride and who's not. God's going to show who's true and who's not. Let's leave it until then. Let's judge nothing before the time. Because his seed are going to come up in the resurrection. When that voice of the resurrection strikes on that morning, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And all those who are Christ's are going to be changed. And are going to be caught up together with them to meet him in the air. And God is going to put the seal of approval, just like he did when Jesus rose from the grave that day, to say, all that this man said, it was the truth. Amen. All that he claimed to be, it was the truth. Amen. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing before we come to a time of prayer. But I'm so glad this morning to have Melchizedek's pardon. Amen. I'm so glad. And I just want to keep with the right attitude towards him, towards his people, towards his body. There's going to be a lot of things that come and a lot of things go. Don't worry about those things. Just keep yourself where he is. That's the most important thing. Just be at his feet. Just call him Lord. Let him just minister into your situation. That's what will make the difference, because he is the resurrection and he's the life.
Lord, I
which I know, Lord, I'm your child. Said I am down here, Lord, and I need your power. Show me the way. Show me the way.
I need your power. She needed the power, Martha. She went down to the right place. And he ministered everything that she needed. How wonderful it is.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Lord, take me back, take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first received. Please now, right now, take me back. Take me back, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Right now, take me back, take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place. Take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first kiss, where I first believe.
You know, there's a place that he can take you back to. The prophet says when they left Jesus in the temple that day when he was a young boy, they found him where they left him.
Amen.
And you'll always find him where you left him. Jonah found him where he left him. Back in his commission, back in his call. And there he was. It's good to go back, friends. If you've lost his presence, if you've lost the joy, if you've lost the power, think back to where you left him.
Amen.
And say, Lord, take me back. I want to return back once again. Let's sing one more. We come to a time of prayer.
and renew a right spirit within me. Creating me, my Lord, creating me a clay now, oh God, and renew a right spirit within. Creating me, my Lord, creating me a clay now, oh God, and renew a right spirit within. Creating me, please, Lord, right now, creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within. Oh, cast me not, my Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Yeah, take not thy Holy Spirit from, take it not, my Lord. Restore unto me the joy of my song, my salvation, and renew a right spirit within. Oh, cast me not, my Lord Jesus, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from, take it not, my Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
And renew a right spirit within me.
And renew a right spirit within me.
And renew
and renew a right spirit within me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. I just want to just remind you of one story, because maybe it'll speak about whatever situation that you are in. That there was a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had got himself in trouble, and he was caught between two. He had just come from his deals with his father-in-law, and he just got himself out of that one problem. Now he got himself in another problem again. And here was Esau. Here was circumstances on the other side coming, and he was pressed between. And this problem that was coming just seemed to be so big, because Esau was coming with so many men with him. And the word came to Jacob and told him, your brother's coming. And the Bible says that he feared. And that he did something maybe that he should have done many years before. He got out on his own. And he got himself to a place called Peniel. And then Melchizedek came down. And the Bible says, and he wrestled with God. In the book of Hosea it says, and he wept. And he gave his supplications unto the Lord. And then he said to the Lord, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. Friends, whatever your circumstance is today, that's the kind of attitude many times that we need. Some of these things are stubborn. Some of these things, they hinder us. They keep coming back. They keep tormenting and haunting us in this life. Amen. There's got to come a time, friends, that you've got to take it, the bull by the horns. You've got to lay a hold of the horns of the altar. And when he's near, you've got to wrestle with him. And you've got to say, Lord, I want it to be a permanent change this time. I want these circumstances to change. I can't keep going on like this. I've been at this mountain too long. And the wonderful thing about it is that he stayed there. Although the Lord wanted to ascend at the breaking of the day, Jacob wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. Until he got that which he required and that which was needed. Friends, that's the attitude that we need many times. Come in humility, but come with persistence. Come with perseverance. Come and keep on knocking until he answers. Remember the parable of the unjust judge. And how he rose up in the night and he gave the request. Not because he wanted to do it. But he just knew the persistence of the person that was asking. And the prophet and the Lord Jesus Christ said, how much more your heavenly Father. That when you're asking for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He desires to answer our prayers, friends. When he's near, call upon him, seek his face, separate yourself from unbelief. Wrestle with him if that's what's required. Let's all come to a time of prayer, whatever you need. If you need salvation, Melchizedek's pardon is available today. There's still the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that speaks on your behalf. All he wants you to do is confess him as Lord. Confess your iniquities in the presence of the blood. And he'll say, your sins, yes, I know they are many, but they're all forgiven. Go and sin no more. Go in peace. Whatever you need, let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Father, we are needy people upon this day. And that's how we're coming unto thee, Father. We're coming, Lord, unto the very source, which we know, Lord, is the source of the very need that we have. You are the answer to that need, Lord. Jesus, you said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Lord, whatever we need inside of our experience, Lord, whatever we need, where we need the power of the resurrection, Lord, we're coming unto thee, Lord, upon this day to look unto thee. We're coming unto thee to wait upon thee. We're coming unto thee, O Lord, to call upon thy name. And Lord Jesus, we just want to worship thee, Lord. We just want to minister unto you upon this day. We just want to glorify thee, Lord. We just want to worship thee, Lord. For thou art mindful and thou art good. And Father, I just want to give unto thee the praise to give unto thee. Jesus is ever shining. Amen.
Jesus is ever shining. Oh, ever shining. Ever shining.
Oh, he's ever shining.
Ever shining.
He's ever shining.
Ever shining.
Shine,
oh,
ever shine,
oh, Jesus.
shining.
He's ever shining.
Ever shining.
He's ever shining.
Ever shining.
Oh,
ever shining.
He's ever shining.
Ever shining.
Oh, ever shining.
Our goal. word. It's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
Oh, the Son of Man.
The ever seal is unveiled. The original cry.
Oh,
the original seal. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original light.
Oh,
the original seal.
Let's sing one more. We ask Brother Francois then to come to close for us in a word of prayer. Let's sing one more. George, you have something there?
Because you have chosen
the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you.
Waiting for you.
Because of what you decide.
Oh.
That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told. Great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
a great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this
path. I will walk.
There's many, many trials.
This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us. Perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to hold in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot.
Coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
That divine love will live in me. Oh,
most precious, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you so much for your love and the kindness.
Yes, Lord.
Father, the prophet tell us what the greater things can happen to a man when he passed from death to life.
Amen.
We thank you so much because the Calvary has produced the life to us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, a greater portion this morning we want to take you because the light has a shine in darkness, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we have accepted boldly, and we have accepted from our heart that we shall surrender our hearts, body and soul unto the light, that yes, we shall become light, Father.
Amen.
Father, because the purpose of you sending the seventh angel, the message of the hour, Father,
amen,
that we shall not walk in darkness, Father.
Amen. Yes,
and that a greater privilege that you could do the immortal, Father.
Amen.
And the prophet tell us, when you call Abraham your friend, you say nothing which shall be hide to Abraham,
amen,
as he become one of us, Father.
Amen.
And that the same thing that you did to our great father Abraham,
amen,
is the same thing that you did in this age, Father.
Amen, Lord.
You didn't hide anything to us.
Amen.
You have revealed your mind to us,
amen,
that we shall not be destroyed with this world, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we don't want to take this thing for granted, Father.
Amen, Lord.
We invite you, Father,
amen,
that you shall come, O Father, with a consuming fire, Father,
yes, Lord,
and consume all the roots of evil,
yes, Lord,
all the desire of the things of this world, Father,
amen,
everything that will hinder you to take preeminence inside of our life, Father,
yes, Lord,
we cast it to the dry ground, Father,
amen,
that you shall take control and hold of our life.
Yes,
because we know that where you are, there's blessing, Father.
Amen.
Where you are, there's deliverance, Father.
Amen.
And there's life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we confess the life this afternoon, Father, that you come and dwell inside of our heart, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Then when we may walk like Christ.
Amen.
When we talk, we may talk like Christ. When
yes,
we
Lord.
Act, we may act like Christ.
Amen.
That the purpose of the light coming to us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we have dwelt in this light so long, Father. And we want this light should reflect inside of each of us life.
Yes, Lord.
In our workplace, Father. In our different places. In our college, Father. We shall be able to manifest the Christ, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because there's nothing good in this world.
Amen.
There's nothing that can save someone's life, Father. Everything is just distraction of the enemy.
Amen.
But why we want to take you, that you shall take control of us. That
yes.
thy word, thy message of the hour shall be made flesh in each of us life,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
And that time that the divine love shall be our portion, Father.
Amen.
We can't sing that song and not the divine love become our portion, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You know the desire of our heart, Father.
Amen.
Though we may not yet reach there, but the desire of our heart that we shall all be filled
yes.
with agape love, Father.
Amen.
That we shall reflect Christ, Father. That we shall be able to pray for the lost soul, Father.
Yes.
To pray or for even our enemies.
Amen.
Because you shine the sun even for the heathen, Father.
Amen.
Let the same character of Christ
yes.
be manifested in each of us life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, thy servant has put himself away, Father,
yes, Lord.
To seek thy face
oh, Lord.
And to come with something that can lift up our faith once again.
Amen,
Father, we thank you because our faith is once again lifted at the upper, Father.
Amen,
because we know that we are not worshipping a God that is a God of history.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We are worshipping a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father.
Amen.
The same way that you manifest yourself in the first Exodus, Father, you manifested the same way in the third of Exodus, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you manifest yourself in the life of Paul through the pillar of fire, Father.
Amen.
In our time, the Philippa has come down again
Amen.
And manifest and minister the life that we need to overcome
yes,
this lukewarm condition,
Amen.
Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We know that there's power enough in the message of the hour
yes,
to transform Lord. Our life, Father.
Amen.
That why we yield ourselves this afternoon.
Yes.
That power that comes with the message of the hour
Amen.
Transform our life, Father.
Amen.
That when we leave this place, we say that we are not anymore the same, Father.
Amen.
Because we don't come here to meet with one another. We come here, Father, to be better Christian, Father.
Amen.
We come here to prepare ourselves because we will know that there will be a taken away of the bride from
Amen.
This earth,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
While we have a chance to come to thy house and to receive something, Father. Let not us be just a hearer of thy word.
Amen.
But let us be the doer of thy Please word,
Lord,
Father.
Help us, Lord.
We ask you not for our mighty, but because of thy spirit.
Amen.
That we unburden ourselves before thy spirit, Father.
Yes,
that Lord. That spirit should mold us and fashion us and bring us to the image that you have before us.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
And we know that image is nothing else but the theophany, Father.
Amen.
We want to come to that form of the word,
yes,
Father,
Lord, yes, Lord.
That we will be able to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Help us, Father, and minister deeper always inside of our heart, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That we shall continually dwell in thy praises, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That everything from this world will be shut from us, Father. And we will be in the holiest of holies, Father.
Amen.
In that place, Father, where the dry stick virgin of Aaron, Father,
Amen.
Could live and could bear fruits in the same hour, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you, Father, yes, and that the desire of my heart and the desire
Amen.
Of this congregation, Father,
yes, Lord.
Is a closer and a deeper walk with thee, Father.
Yes, Lord. Please,
Father, bless all the bride all around
Amen.
This island that we are living, Father.
Please, Lord.
In Bambridge, Father,
Amen.
Bless them.
Please,
in Cork, in Donegal, Father.
Amen.
Bless them, Father.
Amen.
In Belfast, Father,
yes, Lord.
Bless them, Father.
Please, Lord.
In that resurrection morning, Father, when the saints of God will come and we will go to the rapture, Father, let no one of thy people that has put their foot in this place miss yes. that day, Father.
Amen.
That this is our desire, Father. We have
yes,
expanded
Lord.
Our life, our youths, Father, everything, Father,
yes.
because of this message, Father.
Amen.
Because we know that there is a greater reward for it,
Amen.
Father. We didn't come because someone pushed us, Father.
Amen.
We come because you have convinced our soul.
Amen.
And we ask you that you shall take the hold of our soul
Please,
until
Lord.
When we leave this place, Father.
Amen.
Father, bless us, Father. Bless thy servant, Father.
Please,
bless every soul that is present in this place, Father.
Amen.
All the prayer requests that was made before
yes,
thee, Father.
Lord.
In the Old Testament, Father, it used to be the priest that bring the repetition of the people in thy holy of holies.
Yes, Lord.
But the scripture tells us, you have made us all a kingdom of priests.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father,
Amen.
We thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
Because in our little portion, you can hear our prayer.
Amen.
You can minister out to them, Father.
Yes,
as your presence is really here in this place, oh, Father,
yes,
I want to commit, oh, Father, also my request, Father,
Amen.
At thy hand.
Yes,
and the request of thy people, Father,
yes,
that you know our need, Father.
Amen.
Father, minister to inside of our heart, Father.
Yes,
and give us, Father, what need, Father.
Amen.
Because you already provide everything to us to go to live this mortal body, Father.
Amen.
And to go to take another one
yes,
that
Lord.
Is immortal, Father.
Amen.
And we know that there is immortality inside of our heart, Father. What we ask you, as the prophet says, what the bride need, just to lay before the Son.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that the Son is the Son of God.
Amen.
Which is the message of the hour.
Yes,
the revealed word in our time, Amen. Father.
Thank
we
you.
Want to lay ourselves before it, Father.
Amen.
That it shall mold us. Amen. Oh, Father, change completely.
Yes.
Anything that is not of thee in our life, Father.
Please, Lord.
Because we have come long enough to church, Father. We want to see the manifestation, Father,
yes.
of thy Holy Spirit
Hallelujah.
Inside of our life, Father.
Amen.
We want to see the manifestation, Father, of thy power inside of our life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because you says the sign shall fall them that believe
Amen.
In thy name, Father.
Yes,
and we have believed Hallelujah. In thy name, Father. Father, we have received the revelation of the word of God, Father.
Amen.
If there's anybody here with any decision, Father,
Amen.
Can't you just fulfill thy word?
Yes.
Because you say, by your stripe, we are healed, Father.
Amen.
Father, heal every decision, spiritually and physically speaking,
yes,
Father.
Yes, Lord, yes,
that this day may be a testimony, Father.
Amen.
Father, not by multiplying the word that you're going to answer to my prayer, Father. I put my faith with the faith of the congregation together,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
And asking that the kingdom of God shall be in our hearts, Father,
Amen.
And shall be in this place, that each time when we meet here, Father, we shall feel the presence of the Lord
yes,
in
Lord.
This very building that we have dedicated for your kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Father, bless us all as we depart in our different way. Let the angel of the Lord shall go before us, Father,
yes,
where
Lord.
The enemy has made a lot of tribe everything that he wants to distract us, Father. Amen. We shall not be distracted, Father.
Amen.
And we shall meditate upon this word, Father, until this word become flesh inside of our life. We thank you for everything, and starting the week, we want to start with you, Father.
Amen.
In our college, in our workplace, Father, let you be victorious in our life.
Please,
we
God.
Bless thy name, and amen. We thank you for everything. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless. Just a reminder, communion, saints, on Saturday, let's come and fulfill the scriptures. Our father Abraham, he took communion. In the middle of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ served the communion. What are the seed of Abraham supposed to do at the end? We're supposed to fulfill all righteousness. Let's gather in his name for communion. Saturday, 4 o'clock, by the grace of God. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the words of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, these are days of retrial, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice, it's year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of hope. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, shining like the sun. Shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet calls, so lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill.